That was fun, wasn't it? Amen. You know what? We can't do any better than that, so why don't you go ahead and be seated. And thank you, worship team. So appreciate you. Amen. Well, I just want to welcome all of you here in the house. To all the first-time guests, you are very important to us. You didn't come here because of an event. You came here because the Holy Spirit was speaking to you personally. Because the Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with you, relate with you, and talk to you about the things in your life. The Holy Spirit is God, and He desires to move in such a realm in your life, in your home, in your school, with your children, with your parents, whatever situation you are in, the Holy Spirit is right there. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit resides inside your spirit. You are never alone. He is always there, 24/7. When you sleep, He is there. When you sleep, He is listening to Jesus making prayers and proclamations over you from the throne room of God. And He is hearing that and is wanting that to manifest in a very unique way in your life. You're important. Again, let me say this, because I heard Him say it to me about 8 times during worship. We are not here because of an event. We are here because God spoke to us. And even though, because maybe the Holy Spirit is a God that we don't know, that we haven't related with, we don't recognize the voice, but He's talking to you. When Dr. Mila came up and gave us a word, the word was so important that it was written down. She wrote it down. She's very gifted in communication. And she can do it without writing it down because she hears the voice of God as well as you and I can. But she has practiced that because she spends time every day listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and talking with Him, communing with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She wrote it down. Joanne, this week, if we can put that together, and next week, we'll hand out the word to everybody, if that's okay with you, Dr. Mila. And we will do that for you. And because why? It is important that we understand the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us collectively and personally. Personally, I will say to you that this is some of the greatest times of the Holy Spirit speaking to the body of Christ, to you and me. And many of you have probably experienced things, you've done things, you've made decisions, and you saw immediate things take place. I will say to you, it's because you followed and submitted to what you thought maybe was your brain, and you are smart, we all are, but it was your spirit that was guiding you. And the series that I am doing, The God I Never Knew, speaking of the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and how He works with us, and that's what we're doing. My goal is, again, to remove the weirdness of Pentecostalism, the weirdness of full gospel life, I could say ism, the charismatic aspect of our lives, and remove that fear. Because what the enemy wants to do, as we sang about, God will turn it around for good, What the enemy wants to do is to cause fear in your life. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And we have to recognize that today is a move of the Holy Spirit that is huge. I'm having the privilege of being spiritual fathers and mentors to many. And this is what I'm talking to them about. And this is what they're experiencing. To all the home churches that are watching right now. To everybody that is watching, that have been watching us. And if you're brand new, stick with us. You're going to enjoy what you hear. And if you just came online after this, go back and listen to the worship. And you'll see what Valley Community Church is all about. So, either due to an experience in the past or lack of relationship with the Holy Spirit, I want you to move into an acceptance right now of what God has already said, and also those questions that some of you have in your life, the things that you're asking the Lord about, why all week long you've been pressed in your spirit to come to church, because this is how God works. It's not about on Saturday afternoon, do I have time to go to church because there's two football games I want to watch and there's a World Series game on Monday I got to rest for because the last couple days was tough on me as a Dodger fan. But we have to get to a place in our life where we recognize that we plan on Monday to make sure our whole schedule works around being in church. Because church is the most important thing of decisions you make in the week. Because God said, don't forsake the assembling together of the believer. He says a lot more things, but I got a lot to say to you today. And I want to get to it, but I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just really proclaiming to you, don't miss out on what God has for you. If you're brand new here at the church, don't miss out on what God has led you to. We are not a cult. We are a church that's called by God to preach the gospel, to teach the word of God. My call in my life is to equip the saints for the work of their ministry, to give you truth. There are things that are happening in your life that are true, but the truth will set you free when you grab a hold of the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. It's not my opinion. I may give you opinions of what I believe Scripture is saying, but I'll always bathe it with other Scripture. I will not say because this is how I feel. I will tell you because in other scriptures, you will see that it says the same thing. The Bible is the greatest book in the world. The Bible has been proven time and time again to be truth. And by the way, the sales of the Bible have gone up 38% in the past 3 to 4 months. Now, I could say because of some of the events that have taken place in our world, but I'm going to tell you again. It's because I told you 2 years ago, according to the Word of God, according to what the Holy Spirit is sharing with me, we're in the beginning stage of end times. Now, when I say that, oh no, here's that weird guy talking about end times. End times could be 100 years from now. But we're in the beginning stage of end times where the Bible says the Holy Spirit will be poured out like never before. And that's why you're here. That's why I'm seeing young people just race to the church and race to their universities where thousands of young people are gathering and worshiping on the campuses. 2 years ago, they would be ridiculed and beat up for doing that. And today, it is an open anointing that is happening, that God is pouring out His Spirit on our young people. And it's exciting to me. It's thrilling to me because I want, at my age, I'm planning on living a long life, but at my age, I want you to understand my greatest thrill is when I see you young men and women that are in the house of God, that you are listening to worship music, that you are going to school and not allowing for the things that have been spoken and for decades in our universities and colleges to sway you from your belief system that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's dive into this. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And again, the reason why I say the things I do, I'm bringing scripture to you, is because I want to remove weirdness out of your mindset and fear out of your mindset. And today, I'm going to begin by asking a question. Does the Holy Spirit baptize? We've heard the word baptize. We've experienced the word baptize. What is baptizing? What is baptized? And we're going to see that God, the Holy Spirit, the God that many don't know, does baptize. And we're going to answer that. Many people say this wrong, and I know I'm being picky, but the reason why I'm being picky is because there's such a unique way that the enemy does to coerce language. You know, if you listen even to the news organizations, you will hear certain words that they say that will cause your brain to go a different direction. And I'll sit and watch just to listen to their ignorance of the Word of God, not stupidity, because they're smart people. And they'll say certain words, and I sometimes sound weird because I'll talk back at the TV and say, no, that's not where my brain's going, because they're trying to coerce you and many different things. You'll see it in movies. You'll see it in talk shows. You'll see it on blogs. You'll see it online, that they'll use particular words that will take you away. So that's why I'm being very picky regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to dig deep into that this week and next week. All right? But they say it the wrong way. They say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Correctly stated, and I'm going to show you why today, it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because we're talking about relationship. We're talking about a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we need to grab a hold of it. It's not of, He's not a thing, He's not an it, He's not some type of force, or, you know, the force be with you type thing. We have to get to a place of understanding that He is a person, and He relates with you, and He loves you with God love. And when I say God love, because He is God. So let's jump into my points, and I'm going to cover the first two very quickly now. And then I'm going to jump to the third point, and you'll see why. And I'm going to spend a lot of time with this and go over some even historical facts. So the first point about, does the Holy Spirit baptize? The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, it tells us, or better said, the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, baptizes us into the body of Christ. The body of Christ. It says there, verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized in one body. Now notice in the scripture that you'll see that the word Spirit is capitalized. It is talking about the Holy Spirit, not the Spirit that's within you. And verse 12 says Christ. Again, when you get saved, what takes place? The Holy Spirit baptizes you, the word baptizo, to immerse fully into the body of Christ. So to answer, does the Holy Spirit baptize? The answer is yes. Here's the controversy that I'm going to help you explain to you and help you overcome. The controversy has been, do we need to be baptized in Him, the Holy Spirit? Because that's that weird stuff. That's that stuff I've experienced and I'm afraid of. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is God, the third part of the Trinity, and He is God and He loves you, He's called you, and what He does is shows you what that is. He teaches you all things. So if you don't relate to someone that teaches you all things, then you won't know all things. Here's a second point, or baptism. The disciple baptizes us in water, all right? So we're baptized in the body of Christ when we're born again. The disciple baptizes us in water. Once we get saved, born again, we come to get water baptized. We've experienced that a little bit ago. And during the holidays, we're going to have another water baptism because it is very important to your walk with God. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to clarify quickly what that is, water baptism. I've covered this before. Pastor Dan's covered this. Pastor Ryan, when he teaches in the back, covers this. But I'm going to reiterate and I'm going to remind you of what many of you already know, but maybe some of you don't, all right? Once we get saved, born again, we are to get water baptized. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, you see the Trinity here, but this is talking about water baptism. Water baptism, this is true, but not the full truth, is a sign. But it's more than a sign of the action you took of being born again. Please don't relegate it to a sign. So what I'm trying to tell you is make water baptism, because some religious beliefs are that in order to be saved, born again, you have to be water baptized. That is not true. All right, the thief on the cross was going to be in paradise with Jesus. He didn't get water baptized. All right, so we have to recognize what is happening here, because again, the importance of water baptism, that's part of not salvation, but part of salvation, is that we have to recognize it is more than just a signification, there it is, of what we did before. I can't peek plain. Anyways, we have to see it more than just an action, because a lot of people in salvation is, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And what I'm telling you, it's salvation is about what are you becoming? What are you becoming? All right? Water baptism does symbolize what we have done when we gave our lives to Jesus, but it is more than a sign. It is a cutting of the flesh. It's a burying of the old person. When you become born again, you die to self. You die to all the flesh, and you have new life in Christ. And that's the symbolic aspect of water baptism, but it's also a cutting away of the flesh. And I'm going to show you how important it is, because the apostles really were focused on water baptism and spirit baptism. Remember when the Israelites went into the Red Sea, they left the enemy back in the sea, a symbolizing of they left the old life of slavery behind them, thus beginning a new life in their life. That's water baptism. So before I show you the next point, we're going to spend a lot of time with it. In Ephesians 4, 5, it says there is one baptism, and many people that argue against the baptism in the Holy Spirit have used Ephesians 4, 5, and they say there's only one baptism, so there's no such thing as a baptism in or with the Holy Spirit. But the verse also says there is one Lord. All right? So we also know there are three, the Trinity, who are one. All right? So this is where people get all messed up in their heads about the Trinity, three in one. And so there is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you that there are three baptisms, and they all agree. And the scripture is going to tell us. I'll even show you a verse where it says there are three in heaven, but they all agree as one. And there are three on earth, referring to the three baptisms, that all agree in one. So my point in bringing this up quickly, even people who think and say there's only one baptism, they actually believe in two, because they believe in the baptism in Christ and the water baptism. So even when they say that, they're saying things that even their doctrine, their theology, disproves what they're saying. And I'm just telling you that our theology is according to the whole Word of God, and there are three baptisms. So they believe when they get saved, they believe they're baptized in Jesus, and they believe in water baptism. But I'm telling you that the Bible gives us three baptisms. Why is that important? Because of what I'm going to show you right now. Here's our third point. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Turn to Matthew 3:11, and please receive this truth. Because I promise you, if you grab a hold of all the chaos of theology and doctrine and what people said and opinions and all that, and if you really listen to what I'm going to bring you and maybe even watch it again, you're going to really realize the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, it will change your life. Because everybody that was baptized in the Spirit in the Bible, their lives were changed. Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed, now watch this, Matthew's quoting John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, pointing to Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Last week we read on the day of Pentecost that fire came, cloven tongues. So Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Matthew quoted John the Baptist saying this. Now a couple of things I want to say about this as John was speaking. Because here's another argument about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it's only for a few people. Or with that mentality, it's only for Dr. Mila and maybe Pastor Dan. I don't know about Pastor Gary. John the Baptist wasn't speaking to the disciples there in Matthew 3. The 12 disciples have not been called yet. Because they were called in chapter 4. So this happened before the disciples were called. Many say the Holy Spirit and baptism was for only the 12 disciples or the 120 in the upper room. John said there was someone coming after me, the Messiah, Jesus, and one of his ministries will be to baptize you, speaking to those who were listening, everyone will baptize you in, or as Scripture said, with the Holy Spirit. So let's go deeper in that. Many people say, you know, point one and point three are the same. So it's really not talking about something with the Holy Spirit. It's really talking about your salvation. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus, and Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. They are not the same thing. So I've kind of quickly gone over what I could teach hours of what other people's opinions say. I'm just showing you what Scripture tells us. All right, so the first point in 1 Corinthians 12:13 says salvation. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus when you get saved. And the third, Matthew 11, is Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, is given to you after you got saved or get saved. If you're not saved, you can receive Christ as your Savior today and then expect the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you in the Gospels them saying the same thing. Mark, he is a subject, speaks of Jesus. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke, the doctor, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So stay with me now. The rest of my message, I'm going to talk about salvation, water, and Spirit. All right, follow me now. Let me ask you, in speaking of salvation, the water baptism, and Spirit baptism, would Jesus be our example? Of course he would. Yeah, he would be our example. So then the question is, again, you know, people, opinions, they go to some of this. Did Jesus have these three baptisms? Was Jesus saved? Was Jesus water baptized? And was he Spirit baptized in Scripture? All right, I'm just going to let you know the answer to that, and I'll show it to you. Yes. Now, some of you theologians are going, oh, but wait a minute, salvation? Let me show it to you, all right? Speaking of salvation, when we are saved, the Bible says we are born again, correct? You are born perfect in position, but not in performance. Because you couldn't be saved because of your sin. All right? You are born perfect in position because of what Christ did. In other words, that's why it says born again. Remember the question in the Bible. How do they go back into the mother's womb? That's not what he's talking about. It's talking about the sin is removed, your spirit becomes brand new. Because Christ lived perfectly without sin, born without sin, he lived the perfect life. We couldn't do that because we were born in sin. But we are in Christ according to Colossians 3:3-4. And that's why baptized in Christ. For you died and your life is hidden, Colossians 3, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So you and I are born again. So the question then, with what I just showed you, was Jesus ever born again? The answer is no. He wasn't because he was born right the first time. Perfect. So salvation is of God. Salvation is of Christ. So when Jesus was born, he was born the perfection of God, which is what salvation brings. And remember, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. So next, was Jesus water baptized? We all know that. The answer is yes. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So the next was Jesus spirit baptized. Saved, water baptized, spirit baptized. I've had people tell me, if Jesus is our example, he was never baptized in the Spirit. And my statement to them, what Bible are you reading? Because it tells us. So the question, when Jesus was water baptized, what happened right after? The Holy Spirit, like a dove, wasn't a dove, you know, descending on Jesus. So here's a really good question for you. If Jesus needed the person of the Holy Spirit when he was on this earth, how much more do you think you need the person of the Holy Spirit? I'll say that again in a different way. Because Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit and Mary, perfect. But in this world, he gave up his rights, then what he needed was everything that you need. And he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He needed the Holy Spirit to reside in him. But he's God, yes. But God gave up so he could become man, born perfectly. So he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let me show you basically why. And so that means you and I really need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had these three baptisms. But I'm saying this. What I'm trying to bring you to is this. So let's go to the next step now. Let's move on. This is a pattern in Scripture, being baptized of the Holy Spirit, baptized in Jesus, being born again, being saved. We get water baptized. That's a cutting away, not just symbolic, but a cutting away of flesh gives you power to overcome sin because it cuts away of the flesh. And then Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture that actually shows us this. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent. To get saved, you need to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's water baptism. For the remission of sins, the cutting away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not giving you my opinion or my fear or my doubt or my experiences of weirdness of the Holy Spirit. What I'm giving you is what Scripture tells us. And I'm just trying to proclaim to you, when you receive this and tell the enemy, I'll say it, shut up and stop making me feel weird about this thing, and you start walking in this, your life will change. Your life will change on this earth. Acts 8:12. Philip preaches this. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, they believed, so they got saved, all right? Baptized in Christ. You get saved by repenting and believing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized, water baptized. Now at that point, you know, according to a lot of people, that's all they needed. They got saved. They got water baptized. Ta-da! Victory. And what I'm telling you, the God that a lot of people never knew or don't know is the most vital of your life right now. Watch what the Bible says. Look at Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They've already gotten saved. They've already gotten water baptized. And now they send the apostles, the main dudes, to go over there to make sure they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So it's clear. They got saved. They got water baptized, cutting away of flesh. And then they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 19:1-2. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, now finding some disciples, he didn't find Matthew, Luke, and John. He found those who became disciples because they became born again and water baptized. And then he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived, he finds some born-again believers and believers and asks, did they receive the Holy Spirit when they believed? They answered, well, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they went to a place that didn't teach the Holy Spirit, like we have today. Or maybe they had a bad experience of someone looking weird and they thought it was the devil. So to double check, he asked about their salvation in Acts 19:3. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? He's checking on their salvation. Why do you say you're born again? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus, which speaks of salvation. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, Jesus. So when they heard, verse 3 and 4, verse 5 says, they were water baptized in the name of the Lord. Now again, this is Paul. Apparently, that's all they need. So Paul says, cool, I'm heading back because I miss McDonald's at my hometown. Verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They were baptized in the Spirit. See, people say this baptism in the Holy Spirit is only in Acts chapter 2. No, it's in Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19. Four times in the book of Acts. You also need to know Acts 8 with Philip was 5 years after Pentecost. I brought this to you a few years back. 5 years later, people get saved, water baptized, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, that was 10 years after the day of Pentecost. 10 years later, the disciples believing you must be saved, water baptized, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, ready for this? 25 years after the day of Pentecost. 25 years later, the Apostle Paul said, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So when someone says to you, the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit is for yesteryear, is for back then in Acts chapter 2, no, they're ignorant of the Word of God. And it is for today. So 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, for the Father, the Word. In Revelation tells us Jesus is the Word and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, one Lord. That's the Trinity, Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. They bear witness of a supernatural life that they've given you. Because of who they are, sending you the Holy Spirit, it bears witness of you walking in the supernatural power of God. Of you laying hands on the sick that they would recover. Of you leading people to Christ. Of you young people rising up in the identity and the call that God gave you and standing up and preaching the gospel where you're at. Wherever you are at. That's you. God loves you. He's called you. He's anointed you. But you need to back away from all that false stuff of people trying to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not there, because the enemy wants you to believe that so you won't walk in the power that is yours to have. That's what we have. No matter how young you are, how old you are, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It's not something you earn or you work for. It's a gift from God. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. So they bear witness of a supernatural life. I'm going to skip a part here because I really want to focus on something. It isn't you're just born, then you're matter, then you're energy, then you die. You hear that in science today. So there are three in heaven. So let me show you a verse. And I want you to see three baptisms in the verse. Salvation sometimes refers to as repent and believe, or it speaks of the blood. Without the blood, there is no remission of sins by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus was the Lamb of God. 1 John 5:8. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, the water, water baptism, and the blood, salvation. And these three agree as one. Do you see how awesome the Bible is? I mean, it's just so amazing that you can live your life in this way. So you see it. There are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and three witnesses on this earth. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, sit on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, so I can send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So we have on earth the Holy Spirit, baptism in water, and the blood, salvation. So what do they bear witness to? What does all this bear witness to? Let me simplify it for you, and then I'm going to put it in layman's terms. Because I like things simple, because I'm simple. It bears witness to the supernatural. When you hear things from this pulpit, or you hear on the radio when you listen to Christian sermons, and you hear the term supernatural, you know why it comes. It's not because you're just this holy roller running around and doing Jericho marches and flipping around and rolling on the floor and screaming and yelling hallelujah and being louder than everybody else. No, it's a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you become a new person. When you get water baptized, the old person gets cut off, left in the water, buried in baptism. And when you get spirit baptized, you get power to walk in the new, in the supernatural. That's called the complete work of God. It's been completed. So what you need in life, in the call of God, in the walk that God's called you to be in, you have everything you need. You just need to believe it. And maybe today, begin to realize and love and talk to and listen to the God that you never knew, the Holy Spirit. So here's another way. You want to go to heaven, you need to get saved. That's all you need. If you want to live victoriously on this earth, you need to be water baptized and Holy Spirit baptized. Now, some of you need to be water baptized because you got water baptized as a baby or a child, and then you got saved later. I'm not coming against any religion. So please don't hear this. If you're watching online, don't push the button because I'm coming against your church. I'm not. I'm just telling you, you must be water baptized after you become born again. Water baptism does not get you born again. It is a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, a belief in your heart and the confession of your mouth that gets you born again. And when you're a baby, all you did is, wah! It's real for your family. It's real. It's wonderful. And let me just say it this way. It is a way of hearing God. It's even a way that God could take things that are not total scriptural and cause it to be good. So please, there's a lot we can learn from those churches, of the honor and the respect that people have for those churches. So, you must be water baptized after salvation. So, church family, this is not goofy, what I've talked about, spooky, and is doctrinally correct. What I have taught you is scriptural, and it is accurate biblically. So you need to take baptize in the Holy Spirit as real, and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we will be, in the next few months, be talking about this and have a great expectancy for some of you that you were afraid of it, it was spooky to you. Now you're listening to this over and over. Now you're seeing it scripturally, and you know you want it. We're going to help you with this. Online, find you a church that teaches what I just taught. Now think about it. I'm going to try to say it in a good way, a nice way, I guess. Could this be the main reason why many believers who love Jesus with all their heart, who have been water baptized, walk around defeated? Because they only have two out of the three baptisms. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, not because they're not smart, or not because they're not spiritual, is because we're ignorant of the Holy Spirit, like I was years back. That we just didn't understand it. And what we saw of it was weird. Because those people didn't understand it, and they thought it was all this emotional. It can get emotional, just like you last night when that home run was hit. Right? You're sitting there going, yay! To some who don't know baseball, that's weird. No, it's not. I kind of enjoy it. So let me finish with this. Last illustration, let's talk about the tabernacle. I talked about this a few years back. Pastor Ryan has really, he's got a real revelation of it. And if you want to really know about tabernacle, talk to Pastor Ryan. But in the tabernacle, watch this. There were three things you had to do before you entered the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. First, you encountered an altar when you walked in where they shed the blood of the Lamb. That represents salvation because Jesus is the Lamb. The second thing you would do walking into the tabernacle, you encountered what is called a laver, where you washed with water. This represented water baptism from way back. Now, a lot of people still today think that's all they need. But there was a third step you encountered before you went into the Holy of Holies. Before you could enter the presence of God, there was a flask where they anointed you with oil. This represents a Holy Spirit baptism. But here's the normal church. We say Jesus is Lord and we need to be saved to go to heaven. Many say, I want to, you know, go to heaven, and they get saved. We say, you need to be water baptized. Many say, okay, I'll be water baptized as long as the heater works in the baptism. Any of you experience that? That wasn't Pentecostalism when they shouted, get in the water. It was just cold. Some of you will get it later. Then we say, but Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And many people say, that's kind of weird. And we try to go to the holy place without the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What happened in the tabernacle if they went into the holy place incorrectly? Did you know they tied a cord around their ankle? In case they did that, you know why? Because when you go in the presence of the power of God, Holy of Holies, and you are not totally ready for that, they would die. One of the priests, well, there went another one. Pulling them out. I want you to picture that. But here's what's amazing. We believe in the two and not the third, and the third is weird. But we enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, praise God, because of the work of Christ, we don't die. But how many Christians walk around as dead people? Because they don't experience the fullness of God. I know that sounds hard. I'm not trying to be harsh here, folks. Listen, look at the events that have been happening in our world. Do we just say, well, why not just believe God and just hope that things... Look at the events that are happening. When you face sickness in your body, what do? You want the power of God, and you want God to be right there. And I'm just telling you, with what I taught you, wouldn't it be amazing? You got born again. You were water baptized, flesh cut away. You're walking in victory in your life. But then you need the supernatural to really work in and through your life. You need the voice of God. You need to know what God is saying. It's expedient that I go away, Jesus said, so that I can send you the Comforter. He will teach you all things. He will show you things of the future, things of the past. He'll show you things of the present. He'll show you everything you need. That's where the supernatural happens. That's where church really becomes church. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. And last I want to say is, you or I don't get to set up the rules. Amen? Who sets up the rules? The Word of God. If you're here today watching online, the home churches, the new youth group gathering from one of the home churches, young people are gathering around the TV watching us. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, point one, Holy Spirit will baptize you in Jesus. Repentance, believe in your heart, Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, it's amazing, a life. Then from there, use your pools. We'll have water baptism. We'll be announcing soon. Get water baptized, a cutting away of flesh, victory over the flesh. That before you were bound to this junk in your life, now you're set free. But the greatest thing, walking in the supernatural, where you can stand, arise, and say, sickness, you must fall off of my son's body, off of my daughter's body, in Jesus' name. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You hear the voice of God and you move. When you see someone that is lost, a homeless person, God can say to you, you know what? The reason why they're there is because this happened in their life. And you can walk up to them and say, hey, my friend, I know this happened in your life. Well, how do you know that? Get away from me. God loves you. God showed me this. But let me help you become born again. You get water baptized, then be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you walk in the completeness of what God has called you to. Again, everyone, just look at me. If you're online, look at me on TV and understand this. Right where you're at right now, God loves you and sees you in his call that was before the foundation of the earth over you. And he is proud of you. And he's looking at your life and whatever decisions you've made that maybe not so good decisions. My son, the father says, has done enough for that. Come to me and it will be removed. See, that's what's happening. Not events and we run to church or events and we run here and events we run to this. No, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You know why? Because you matter to him. You're the only one on this earth. He'd come to you. He would die for you. Jesus would. But guess what? He already did. He already did. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, I proclaim an overwhelming blessing over this house. Every home that's represented in this house. Blessings! Let the revelation of the three baptisms overwhelm us with truth that will set us free from bondage and slavery to our past and slavery to our hurt and slavery to physical sickness, that we will be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing at Valley. Lord, I want Valley to go outside these four walls and let Valley permeate our cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love y'all.